Oh, there we go. Good morning. So I know that I'm not your normal tall, bald head man that speaks up here. And even though my voice is a little deeper today, I still do not have that voice. So I'm Liz, if you don't know me, Liz Worf. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And I have the honor to open up our service today. We're in week two of Making Change, and we've been talking about debt minimalism and generosity and planning for the future. And I'm really excited because I don't normally communicate this way to you guys. So I just want to know if I could maybe sing the sermon to you. It might make me feel a little more comfortable if I just sang the words. But anyway, so we're talking today about stress is bad, and we're talking about how debt and the stress from debt and having that in our lives can be a bad thing. And I've not always been very passionate about money or debt or finances. I'm like not an accountant. That's not my thing. I'm not into that. But I've made some bad choices in the past, which I think everybody is probably like, yeah, me too. I've made bad purchasing decisions or bad financial decisions and thinking like, oh, I could buy that and I could finance it, whatever, you know, make it work over 72 months or whatever. So I think we've all made some really bad choices, and it might be thinking like, okay, this is not the like super spiritual sermon series that I was expecting. I was, you know, expecting more like Holy Spirit and fire of God and that kind of stuff. But I think sometimes we forget how important and how spiritual this concept is, and that I want to offer up the concept that it is an extremely spiritual idea. And I think that the same way that God can give us the strength to overcome and tame our tongue, which I think I get like 50 opportunities a day to put that into action, I think that he can also give us the strength to tame our crazy debit card swiping hand, you know, Amazon Prime, all that kind of stuff. I think that the same idea and the principle is the same. And I'm not a professional, so I'm going to put that disclaimer out there that I don't have the answers. I'm kind of in the same boat as everybody else. Sometimes where you feel like you're digging your way out of debt with a spoon, and can be frustrating and overwhelming. But I'm honored to be able to talk to you a little bit about this and kind of the story of my journey, I guess. So I was born in 1970. I'm not going to start. No, not that far back. Everybody cringes. No. So it starts in January, not that far back. So I don't know how many of you guys make New Year's resolutions. I think everybody, even if they're like, I'm not making one, not making a resolution because I always break it by February. You know, I think that everybody at least attempts to be a better person. I'm going to do better this year, you know, close the door on the previous year. And for me, I was that person that Netflix binged Marie Kondo. Did anybody watch that? Marie Kondo on Netflix? They gave us like all these episodes about decluttering and minimalizing and removing things from your life that don't matter. And it's kind of what we talked about last week. How many things don't make you happy, and that sometimes when you remove the things that you're actually much more happy. And so if you don't know who Marie Kondo is, she's like this tiny Japanese woman, and I think it's still on Netflix if you want to go watch it yourself. And she goes into people's homes, and like she doesn't speak any English, so it's all like she's got an interpreter and like subtitles. But the concept is hold something in your hand, so it's like you pick up this Tupperware that doesn't have a lid. Like, does this bring me joy? If it doesn't bring you joy, you get rid of it, right? So that's the idea. And so for me, I was inspired, and my husband is probably super happy because he's like, the office is a mess, the music room is a mess, I can't even go in there. And so I think he was quite happy that I decided to declutter some. So I went like a maniac, and I'm like, getting rid of that. I don't need that. That's not important. I'm going to sell this, sell that, right? Getting rid of stuff. I told Morgan if he sits still too long, I might sell him on eBay. Anything that's not bolted down to the floor, out of here, right? So I sold a bunch of stuff because I was just like, yes. So in the process of selling things, I was making some money, and I'm like, whoa, I made money on eBay. I was like super excited. I'd never sold on eBay. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we made a couple thousand dollars on eBay, just like random things. I don't need that. Just sell it, put it on eBay, right? So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have all this money. And in the process of doing that, I also started watching some different YouTube videos. One of them was Dave Ramsey. There's some other ones. There's like Debt-Free Weirdos, some other like Budget Mom and stuff like that. There's lots of people out there that have some really great ideas about budgeting and being smart with your finances and like having a side job, a side gig, the ways to make money on the side to get yourself out of debt. Because I sat down and I'm like, okay, I'm totaling up credit card debt, totaling up car, mortgage, okay, school loans. And it was like, oh, you just feel this yucky feeling once you actually have reality of like, oh my gosh, that number's really big. So it's like the sick pit of your stomach feeling, what am I gonna do? There's no light at the end of the tunnel for that kind of an amount. And you're just like, how am I gonna get out of this? What am I gonna do? We're gonna be paying for this till we're like 80 years old. And so I had a fire under my tail to get rid of as much debt as I could. So I started watching things. I started researching, you know, things, people on Instagram with like tutorials about how to budget things and stuff like that, and started tackling the debt, selling everything but Morgan on eBay, doing like extra jobs. I do graphic design on the side, making some extra money, saving money by like meal prepping and doing different stuff like that. Like, what can I do? How can I get rid of stuff? And paying off a huge chunk of debt in just like, what has it been, like 6-7 months. So I think that like it's possible. I mean, even if we're digging with a spoon, it's possible. And I know there's a handful of people in here that have become debt-free. Actually, are there any people that have paid off all their debt? I know there's some that are really close. They've paid off their houses and like have gotten out of debt, which is super awesome. But you know, I know for me, and I think probably others have felt the same way, like, man, I wish I could help somebody. You see somebody, you hear a need, and you're like, I don't have it. Like, I wish I had it. And it can be really frustrating. And I think that when we are covered up in debt, when we're covered up in whether it's credit cards, school loans, whatever it might be, that it limits our ability to be generous. We're limited by that lack, whether it's paying it forward, somebody in the grocery line, and God just puts on your heart, like, pay for her groceries, you know, or whatever it might be, pay for their lunch or whatever. So I think that if we can be faithful in the little that God has given us, and we can be wise and manage those things that he's given us, that he'll trust us with more. And that's what the word says, that when you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. So I just want to encourage you guys that wherever you're at, maybe you're starting, maybe you're like, that wasn't even on my radar, and this whole series is just kind of like knocked me up the side of the head, and I'm not a fan, whatever it might be, wherever you're at on that spectrum, I just want to encourage you to do something. Make an effort to, you know, try to get yourself out of this pit, because I feel like that's what I've done to myself. I've dug myself into this pit. And that's what I hope that through, you know, last week encouraging you to limit things, to get rid of things and minimize the stuff and not be, not find happiness in the stuff. And then today talking about not having stress from debt and stuff like that, that you would be encouraged to make your first step or your 50th step in the right direction. So thank you, guys.
Amen. Praise God. In the next few minutes, I want to give you three keys that you can pray to help you position yourself and posture yourself to get some normality back in your life, especially when it comes to finances. I don't know anyone who has not had a moment in their life where they were at a meeting, a special ministry, where they said, I wished I was able to give and to sow into this particular ministry, but because of limitations financially, and we wanted that $48,000 truck, and not too long ago, interest rates were 19%, and if you finance that over 72 months, you've paid $81,000 for a truck in 6 years that will only be worth about $10,000. And so we get caught up in this culture, and we think that what we want is what we have to have. So less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Do you believe that? I believe that. And we want to be generous in what we do and how we handle our life, because it really, it comes back and shows the world that we are faithful and we are concerned about honoring God and honoring ourselves and honoring our life and doing what we can to be great in the kingdom. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. The Bible says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." My wife and I have a plan that within the next 5 years, everything that we have will be paid off. Our house, everything. In fact, we have a loan on our house, and they sent us a memo the other day. And when I see that come through the mail, I'm always a little bit trepidatious. I just had to use that word, means fearful. My grandfather told me years ago, you need to learn a new word every week. And they dropped my interest rate. Thank you, Jesus. That means I'm not giving them as much, which means I can take the difference and put on the principal. So I'm calculating it about every month. Where am I? What can I pay off? How quickly am I going to take care of this? So as your pastor, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, I'm pleading with you to begin to evaluate your life, to move into a place, and to begin to imagine what would it be like not to have the financial stress of writing money to large corporations that are spending their money in ways that you probably would not. I would imagine that you have better ways that you could invest your money. Says, the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren. All my grandchildren, if they were here, would say, yes, sir. Grandpa, we don't want you to die today, but when you do, I just want to know, are you leaving me anything? I just want them to know, yes, I am. And I'm not going today or tomorrow. I'm ready to go, prefer not to go today. How about you? Are you ready to meet Jesus? But you have some things you'd like to accomplish. It's amazing, because if the practicality of what we've shared does not strike your heart, then maybe the spiritual side will. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, this is the scripture that Pastor Liz mentioned. It's about the terrible parable of the talents. And the word talent means money. So these servants were given and allocated a particular amount of money to see what they would do with it. And so when the master came back, here's what he replied to one of them. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." When we stand before the Lord, it will be more inclusive than just our spiritual gifts. I believe that we will be evaluated on how we handled our finances and what we were able to do and how we were able to empower ministries to affect the world. We support ministries all over this world. Being an ICCI church, Independent Christian Churches International, we have men and women that are a part of our organization. We have over 600 churches in Mexico, 400 churches in the Philippines, along with Bible colleges and Bible schools in Africa. Some of you are aware that we have a young lady that has children, and she is in the Czech Republic. And so we're supporting people all over the world. And we could not do that without the generosity of God's people. So let me just take a couple of things. And number one, some prayers that I think that you can pray that will help you. Number one, I think you need to pray this in every area of your life, but especially in the area of finances. God, give me or grant me self-control. Now, I don't know if any of you shop at Kohl's, but Kohl's has mastered manipulation. Because you can go and spend $1,470 at Kohl's, and they will give you a receipt that shows you saved $5,000. And you will go home and tell your spouse, "I only spent $1,000, but look, I saved $5,000. Let's make it more palatable. You spent $200, but you saved $326. And we tend to forget that we spent $200 probably on things that we did not need, but things that we wanted that we thought we needed. I watched Facebook, and maybe after what Pastor Liz said, you recognized all the things you're missing out on that are out there that would help you in your walk naturally and spiritually. I noticed on Facebook this week that somebody joined the 100 Item Club. Because we challenge you, go home and see if you can find 100 items in your house that you don't need. Sell it. You say you don't have money to give to missions or anything else. Begin to look, because somebody's treasure is somebody else's trash. And maybe it's an item that served its purpose in your life, but it's outlived its purpose and it's ready to be purposeful in somebody else's life. Maybe there are things that you need to do. Maybe you need to stay away from the clearance aisle. Maybe you want to buy it simply because it's on clearance. Or maybe you get your nails done every week. I lost track, but somebody told me that you can get your nails done and it can cost anywhere from $40 to $100. But let me give you some insight, ladies. I've never been with a group of guys who was standing on a street corner that one of them said when a young lady walked by, "Did you see those nails?" That's never been a comment that I've ever heard that somebody recognized how powerful those nails were. They weren't just colorful, but they had a rainbow of colors and little drops of sprinkly silver and gold. And so if you would be willing to cut back a little bit, maybe you can come to a day where you can pay for 10 ladies to have their nails done. Maybe you need to say no for a little while so you can say yes for the rest of your life. Maybe, just maybe, you don't need to make sure that your 8-year-old has an iPhone. I don't know the rationale in that, but we have kids that are very young that know how to get on the iPhone and navigate Facebook and Google, but they don't know how to have a conversation with other people. And so maybe that's not necessary. Maybe that $350 for an iPhone for an 8-year-old could be used to pay on some of your debt. So Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says this, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." Maybe you know somebody that needs a dose of self-control. We were in Branson a couple weeks ago, and I drove by Krispy Kreme, and the blue light was on. I mean, how do you drive past? If you're not aware, when the blue light is on, those little round yeast enlarging elements that have icing, primarily of sugar dripping down the side, are just coming out of the oven. And they will melt in your mouth. But when you go in, they'll give you a free one, so I can walk away with two. But you would be proud of me, those of you that are into great health things. I'd made my mind that I needed to exercise some control. How else do I keep this girlish figure and just drive by? And so there are things that maybe we don't need that we can set aside. I have an old lawnmower. I refuse to go buy a new lawnmower. Years ago, when I was mowing yards, you could buy a lawnmower for $42.50. Gas was 15 cents, so I'd mow yards for a buck and a quarter. But I walk into Home Depot or Lowe's, and you can't buy a lawnmower that is worth its salt for less than $300. So I have this old push mower that's a 22-inch push mower. I just keep putting a new plug in it, changing the oil, sharpening the blade. It's about to fall apart. The wheels are about to fall off. And then I buy this special glue that they advertise on TV that will hold an elephant being picked up by a helicopter. And I use it, and my tire falls off, so I find some other glue. So I've invested about $15 in my old lawnmower, but it's better than investing $300. And it just keeps running. Now, I have to push it, but that's a good cardio for me. So there are things and ways that we can cut back, and maybe we just need to learn to say no to that $5.50 cappuccino and just embrace Mrs. Folgers just for one more week. I know that she's not as tasty, and maybe the person in your home serving you that is not as friendly as they would be at the local Starbucks, but it's caffeine. Or you can check with Morgan. I don't know if he's still got any, but he had some chocolate-covered caffeine beans. And I had some of those, and those were great until I had too many, and about noon I was fired up. I don't think I went to sleep for 3 days. But it'll do what needs to be done. So less is more. Stress is bad. What kind of decisions can you make that would bring self-control in your life? Number two, pray this prayer. God, give me understanding. Help me to understand that if I'm out of control and I'm praying for control, I can have an understanding that will help me set a direction so that I can be financially independent. And when you're financially independent, I want to challenge you, because I believe there are men and women in this place that would love to be a part of the $1,000 club. That at any moment when you come across a ministry, whatever it may be, or a missionary, and you would like to give generously, you would have the ability to write a $1,000 check. Anybody want to be a part of that club? I do. And so Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Most times when we want something, we ask this question: how much down and how much a month? Because we figured out how much it's going to take and how much we have every month, so we negotiate and we try to get down as close as we can, especially when buying a car. And then when it's $20 a month, we go, well, I just won't go as much. I won't eat for 2 days. That's not rational. And so we need an understanding. If you would take $16,000, if you could come to a point where you had $16,000 and you could invest it over the next 30 to 40 years, and there are some money market accounts, there are some places that you can invest that bring returns to 10, 12, 13%. If you could do that, your return would be $1.5 million at the end of 40 years. If you would invest $16,000 and you could find an investment company that would pay you 12% return, and you added $250 a month to that because your credit card is paid off, at the end of 40 years, you would have $4 million in the bank. When you begin to examine that and look at that, it's no wonder that we get in the mail 4 to 5 credit card offers a week. Mr. Dolan, we are proud of your payment history, and we want to offer you another $20,000 in credit. And so if you haven't been taught or you haven't been mentored, and we're running into a lot of young men whose fathers have not been in the house, and they struggle with those things. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 in the New Living Translation says that, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Every time you give and have the ability to give into somebody else's life or into the kingdom or into a ministry, you're sowing a seed, you're making an investment, and God will be faithful to bring it back to you. I love to go to supermarkets, to gas stations, because in my mind, I do this. I had an old shop teacher years ago, and he was one of my basketball coaches, and he's been through some physical challenges. Well, he was at the same gas station that I was, and he was filling up his Escalade. And so I walked in, and I said, listen, I just want to pay for his gas. And I want to get out of there before he knows who it is, because I like the whole Long Ranger type of scenario where you get in and out and they walk in and go, who was that masked man? I just want to be able to ride into the sunset knowing I've made a difference in somebody's life, because I don't care if they know who it is, because I know that I've made an investment and God will always bless me. And the Bible says, he that pitieth the poor shall never lack. He that pitieth the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and the Lord shall repay again. So it is a great opportunity. Let me give you the third thing that I believe that you can pray. God, give me a plan. You need a plan. How are we going to navigate this? How can we do this? Lord, what kind of a plan? What can I have? What can I do that will move me in a direction to I can be a part of the $1,000 club? If you're a part of that, let me challenge you to walk with me into the $5,000 club. That's our goal. My wife and I want to be at a place that if we're in a meeting, at a conference, whatever it is, I want to be able to write a check for $5,000 into a ministry to help people that can't help themselves, that are struggling, that are overwhelmed. I just saw a ministry on television the other night. This young lady was abused and beaten by her mom, raped by her uncle. At the age of 18, she found herself living on her own. She was working a part-time job. She bought a vehicle and lived in her vehicle for 2 years. But all along, she made up her mind she was not going to be a victim. She was not going to allow what had been done to her to control and manipulate her life. Somebody told her, you ought to run for Miss California. She said, that's crazy. You don't know my past. And she decided that doing that and the prize money at the end could fund a book that she wanted to write. You got to have a plan. How many books are locked up in some of you? How much is locked up within you if you would start blogging about spiritual things and not what you had to eat or where you ate or what kind of toilet paper you used? I don't care. There is so much locked up within people that is available that you could share with others. And so now she has her own ministry, and she's making a difference in sex trafficking and making a difference in people's lives. But God gave her a plan, and every day she began to feed on the Word of God. That's why Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says this, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." Have you ever made a hasty decision and it cost you thousands of dollars? I've got good friends that are car salesmen, but when I get ready to buy a vehicle, I go in and I tell them what I'll do and what I'll pay, and then I leave. You're not going to sit here and manipulate me and give me all these kind of things and then want to sell me an extra package. It's only going to cost you $10 a month. Well, I can do that. I'll just lay off the Egg McMuffin on Monday mornings. You got to have a plan. When we become hasty about our decisions, we find ourselves in poverty. I discovered a statistic yesterday when I was reading that 68% of the people polled in the United States are overwhelmed with $16,000 of debt or more. If you have a credit card with $16,000 on it and the interest rate potentially could be 19%, you will pay over 40 years $105,000 in interest. What could you do with $105,000? How could you bless somebody's life with $105,000? So God, give me a plan. Plan your generosity. Whenever Deb and I go somewhere, we pray and we say, God, target specific moments and bring divine appointments where we can be a blessing in somebody else's life. Because it always comes back. It always comes back. But here's what I hear. I don't hardly have enough to meet and make ends meet. Become a part of the 100-item club. I would be willing to tell you that you probably have things in your house. When I went to college, when I was in high school and going to Lakeland, I used to build model cars and model trucks. Anybody else used to do that? It's kind of become a passing element. I had 50 to 75, I would paint the engines. I'd paint the carburetor. I would paint the tires, everything. I went to school at Greenville College. I came back 2 weeks later, and I went into the basement to just examine my cars, and my younger brother had taken every single car and truck apart. However, he had organized them according to engines, chassis, wheels. I look back today and I could have sold some of those things. We all have things that we can do. Make a plan. What is the plan that you have? Because I've watched, once you get a plan, God will bless you. When you ask Him to bless you and you don't even have a plan, He goes, what do you want me to bless? You haven't even taken the time to develop a strategy. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. If you're not a tither, let me challenge you to become one. God told the children of Israel, and it's in the law, and Moses wrote it in Leviticus, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. When you set that apart, God begins to bless you. There are secular business people that have practiced this component of tithing, and God has blessed their business, and they rarely even acknowledge God. But God will honor the principle because it's a kingdom principle, and He will bless you beyond measure. We have watched blessings come back to us. Some of you were around when Faith was born, which means we had 7 children in our house. My Chevrolet 4-door, whatever I was driving, would not hold everybody. So we found a 1990 Beauville van. Had a lot of miles on it, but it had road miles, and everybody could fit in it. So we just said, God, I believe this is the right vehicle, and it was the right price. We got to a point where we almost had it paid off. We still owed about $4,500. I'm sitting in my office on a Sunday morning. Somebody comes in and lays an envelope on my desk. I open it up, and it's a check for $5,000. It just didn't show up because I preached. It didn't just show up because I was called, because you're all called. It showed up because I was willing to invest in people's lives. I was willing to invest in the kingdom, and we paid that vehicle off. I don't say this to be arrogant. I don't say it to be proud, but we bought one of those vans. What did they call those fancy vans? The red one where the back seat would fold down and you and John would fight over it. Conversion van. And we paid it off because we didn't owe anything on the previous van that we had to roll over. We came to a point, there was a couple of family in church had no way to get here. And Deb and I looked at one another, and we went, we agree, and we just gave it to them. My kids have given cars away. You said, how in the world can you do that? You have to be a giver. You have to be willing to manage the finances that God has given you and the resources. And when you do and make the investments, God will bless you. And it's a way of serving and honoring God and letting people know we are doing this. When people come to the church and we have them 4 and 5 phone calls sometimes every day. But the first thing I tell them is, I have the ability through different funding to help you, but we're not helping you just because we have the money to do it. We're helping you because God wants us to help you because we have the ability. And then we get the opportunity to have a conversation with them about the power of God. What are they going to do? They haven't got their check yet. They've got to listen. And so we're not overbearing, but we just want to share the gospel with them. And the multiplicity and the majority of those people have had an experience with God, or somebody took them to church when they were younger, and they're not living for Jesus now. It's not my job to get them planted in this church. It is my job to get them planted in the kingdom and let the power of the Holy Spirit begin to direct them and talk to them and speak to them. Less is more. Financial stress is devastating. Giving is good, and tomorrow counts. Let me give you one final scripture. When you plan your generosity, I'm in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. Philemon chapter 1. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. I'm praying that you will put into action your what? The generosity that comes from your faith. You can never outgive God. Can never outgive God. What does it cost you to smile at somebody in the supermarket? I challenge you to go to a mall and sit and watch people. They're angry. They're upset. They're disturbed. They're discouraged. And one element from your life of generosity can change their life. I believe that you ought to tip your waitress really well and not give them a track. I know some waitresses in Mattoon, and there's a particular group of people that come to this one restaurant. And I said, just out of curiosity, do they tip well? They went, no. They're the biggest complainers that we have. And once in a while, they'll leave us a track. Yeah, that looks like money. If I'm going to leave you something, I'm going to leave you the real deal. Because the next time I come back, I want to build a relationship with you. Because I have something in mind. I'm looking for people I can reach. I'm looking to build the kingdom. I'm looking to replenish the kingdom. I'm looking to take every person away from their walk towards hell, because we're going to do everything that we can. And this may not seem like it's a genuine spiritual element of our Christian walk, but it really is, because when you get freed up from the weight of debt on your life, there's much more liberty and clarity. You hear the voice of God greater. You're able to give into people's lives. Hallelujah.